of me?
Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
I am serious. And don't call me sure.
There's no crying in baseball!
This is wrong, bitch.
Hey, the Schwartz being with you.
I am your father.
Get you, my pretty.
Take your stinking paws off me.
May the force be with you.
Here's Johnny.
What up, film fans? Happy Sunday, moviegoers. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Welcome to episode 288. Welcome to Clerks, and welcome to the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Juan, and I am joined by the other clerk, Jay. How are you doing?
Jay, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right, man. It's good. It's a good Sunday. It's been a busy weekend, but you know, I'm ready and ready to sit here and have a fun conversation with you all about Clerks. So it's been a long time coming. It's been a movie we've been trying to talk about and do for last 5 years now. So I'm excited.
I just hope I do it justice, because there's a lot to talk about with this movie, because it changed a lot of things for one man. Well, actually more than one man, the group of friends, it changed for him.
Should be fun. We got a pretty packed show. We're going to talk about some of our favorite Kevin Smith movies. We're also going to dive deep into some favorite scenes, and some recent recommendations, and probably what we watched. And then we're going to get ready for Clerks. So if you guys did not tune in last week, last week's episode was our best of 2023 episode. We talked about all of our favorites. We talked about, you know, predictions and everything. So go back and listen to it. It's on Facebook.com/ The Cinnamon Movie Podcast, Instagram/ The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. X, formerly known as Twitter, is cinnamon405, or you can email us at cinnamon921@gmail.com. So yeah, one of the big things that was talked about last week, Jay, that we all kind of got wrong was Lily Gladstone did not win the Oscar for Best Actress.
Yeah, they went with the
Emma Stone.
They went with Emma Stone, didn't they?
Yeah.
They pulled. Which I haven't seen the movie, so I can't sit there and say, "Oh yeah, she deserved it." But you have, haven't you?
Yeah, it's on Hulu. I'm actually going to get ready to put it on Vudu today. So there's that. But yeah, you know, she does have a different method of acting for that movie. I mean, she does play almost three different characters in one film, but I still think, like, how we all just talked about Lily Gladstone a few weeks ago on the Killers of the Flower Moon episode, I don't think anybody even came close to her. Emma Stone was good, but I don't think she was great. So that'll be a topic of discussion probably for a long time coming. But, man,
it was pretty predictable. You know, Oppenheimer winning Best Picture, Christopher Nolan, we all were right about that, you know.
Yeah.
We had Cillian Murphy as Best Oscar winner, and yeah.
You also got Ryan Gosling's performance of a lifetime, where he performed Ken. I thought that was a pretty fun performance. The smart, funny chick from Superbad now has two Oscars. How about that? So, which is good. I mean, I think so, at least. And also, if you guys are tuning in for the first time, we're talking about our Cash App. If you guys want to donate anything towards the podcast, whether it be for us some new equipment or for us to finally get some T-shirts lifted up off the ground, some stickers, all kinds of that stuff, all the money that is donated will always go back into the podcast. You know, we can get stuff like this back up off the ground. Mugs, you know, which it takes a little bit to put in, but these are still for sale. If you're on the Facebook page, facebook.com/ The Cinnamon Movie Podcast, these are still up for grabs. So that's what that is for. The Cash App will be in the top right hand corner visually on every episode. If you're listening to this on Podio, on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts, go check us out on the Amos and Watt Productions YouTube channel, and you can find the Spotify link and tag, or the Cash App tag, up in the top right-hand corner. But let's get into some recent watches and recommendations. I can go off mine real quick. It was kind of a short, fast week, so I didn't really get to get a lot in. I did check out some kids' movies with the kiddos over this weekend. Trolls and Migration. There were some fun movies.
I enjoyed Migration. I thought it was good.
I enjoyed Trolls a little bit more than Migration, but Migration was it was, you know, anytime they have Awkwafina or Camille Nanjiani as the voice actors, like, I always think those are some fun characters, and their voices are just so unique. It brings a uniqueness to the movie.
I agree.
Anytime
Awkwafina can be non-annoying is good.
And then I checked out the Taylor Swift 4-hour extravaganza on Disney Plus. My daughter's been wanting to watch it forever, so it finally hit Disney Plus on Thursday, and you know, it was okay. There's a lot of stuff that goes into those concerts, though.
Is it a normal concert film, or they show what goes on behind the scenes a little bit and then they sing?
No, it's just, it's a full-blown concert. Yep. It reminded me of back in the day watching stuff like Linkin Park live in Texas and stuff. It was pretty cool, but the production value of this is obviously extraordinary. So it's on Disney Plus. But yeah, 4 hours is a long time.
Well, you went a path that I wouldn't have.
Yep. I checked out Clerks for today, obviously. So if I had to recommend anything easy access, I'd recommend Trolls Band Together. It's on Peacock already. I've also been digging into past WrestleManias, and I know this isn't the sports podcast or not whatnot, but on April the 7th, when we talked the Iron Claw, I think we're going to go through and talk our top five favorite WrestleManias. I'm talking about the entire event, so we'll pick five of them and just go from there. I think that should be a fun top five. And it's going to be hard to, you know, there's 39 of them, to just kind of put it all into five of them. So, but Jay, what about you? What have you recently checked out lately? Anything you want
to
recommend?
I went back to some classics. I watched some Apollo 13. I stayed with my buddy Sam. Shout out to my buddy Sam. He's got a projector, and his entire wall was a screen. So I went there and checked some classics out. I watched Back to the Future 1 and 2, Apollo 13. And I watched Clerks on that screen as well. So I could say I've seen it on the big screen again. So that's what I watched. You can't go wrong with Back to the Future and Apollo 13. So those are my recommendations for the week. I went classic route.
Hey, you know what? That sounds like a pretty good double feature. And at one point, I bet, man, we have to have just like a – we're going to have to dedicate like a one whole episode to each other where we just sit and talk about like maybe some of our best classic theater experiences, maybe whether it be in high school or even stuff that maybe we wish we could have saw, you know.
I've got tons of those. I'll give one story right now. I had one summer – Buffy the Vampire Slayer played at the $1.50 show. It was the very first movie to start for the day. And me being me and wanting to get the hell out of my house as soon as possible, I always chose that movie. It was an hour and 28 minutes. I'll never forget it. It's an hour and 28 minutes to watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And it would get out around 2:30. So that always gave us time to sneak into another movie and be blended in with the crowd that entire summer. So I've seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer in theaters probably a good 20 times.
Wow. And we'll talk about Clerks a little bit later, but if you could guess one movie that you've probably seen more than any other movie, what would it be?
Well, I just said I've seen Buffy probably 20 times, but
so, not just on the big screen. I'm just talking about in general. Probably Buffy.
Probably that, or name the numerous different Batmans. You know, Batman and Batman Returns. I've watched the shit out of those movies. Since I was a kid, I wore a tape of Ninja Turtles. I was a child of the 90s, so oh yeah, I wore out my Ace Ventura and Mask tape.
Oh, Those should be some fun movies to talk about one day.
Oh, yeah. So I had a VCR whenever it was still impossible to, you know, it's still really rare to have a VCR in your room. I had a VCR in my room. But then I upgraded to that dual deck VCR. And
the double head.
Yeah, it changed the game, dude, because it whatever copy protection the tape had on it, it would completely negate it. So that meant that it would record any movie I wanted.
Oh, wow.
I got it from Rent-A-Center.
Wow. Some stories. But let's dig into Kevin Smith, man. It's the first time we're talking a Kevin Smith movie, which is completely insane to me. But it's the first time that we're also ranking our Kevin Smith movies. So sit back, enjoy, and hopefully you like our top five Kevin Smith movies. All right, man. I said this was a little difficult for me, but you found it pretty easy, so I'm going to be pretty enthused to see your list. Before we name the top five, though, do you have any honorable mentions that you want to...
I do have an honorable mention. It's not completely done by Kevin Smith, but it has to do with Kevin Smith. It's the Clerks cartoon. It's six animated episodes that aired on ABC in like 2002 or 2003. He compiled them into a DVD. It's a two-disc DVD set. It has three episodes on each disc, and each episode is hilarious. You could tell that if you rewatch them now, I showed them to my nephew and my daughter, and they were like, "What the hell is this? Why are we watching this, Dad?" And by the end of the sixth episode, they were like, "That was good. I see a lot of what we see nowadays used on that." And so it was a show ahead of its time. Clerks, the animated series. That's my honorable mention.
I'll name just a few off. I'm going to go with Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, Clerks 2, and my official honorable mention is going to be Mallrats. So,
Mallrats was my first Kevin Smith movie I seen.
Oh, wow. Let's start with you then. Let's number five for you.
Well, I rented Mallrats from One Stop Video.
Oh wow! Nice.
My number five is Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
It's a funny movie.
My favorite scene is the scene where he's talking to Justin Long's character about, you know, being in different gay movies, and that scene cracks me up every time. And then whenever Brandon Routh joins the scene, they're like having an argument, and Seth Rogen's like, "Holy shit, they are just like us." I don't know why that makes me laugh, but that whole scene right there makes me just laugh.
I kind of forgot he even directed that movie, but yeah, that's in the day and age of like Seth Rogen doing a bunch of like Judd Apatow movies too. So,
yeah. Kevin Smith thought he was going to get that Judd Apatow money on that movie. It didn't happen.
Number five for me is going to be, I can't believe this is 10 years old already, but from 2014, it's Tusk. To me, an underrated A24 horror movie. Kevin Smith, Justin Long, Haley Joel Osment is in it. Written and directed by Kevin Smith. So I think it's a fun movie. It's weird, it's creepy, certain scenes even gross, honestly. But like for him to just sit and think about this as a script and just putting it out there, it's pretty fun for me. And it's about two podcasters, so he goes on his journey to interview, and it just goes horribly wrong. If you haven't seen it, I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but I highly recommend it. It's on Prime Video for $3. So, but yeah, Tusk is a dark comedy, and I enjoy it.
This may shock you. I have not seen Tusk.
Well,
it seemed too weird for me. That's the whole thing. I've seen Red State. Weird. I seen Red State and I was like, holy shit, Red State is very much so weird. And
yep.
And I was like, I don't know if I could do weird Kevin Smith.
it's very, very interesting. And like I said, it's even gross at some points, but I highly enjoy it. I like weird, gross shit. So 5 for me is Tusk. What about you? What's number 4?
I went with, after I watched Clerks for the rewatch, you know, so we can have a review party with that. I went and watched 2 and 3. So I'm going to go with Clerks 2. And the reason why is just there's so many multiple layers of that movie that work on so many different levels. It works as a sequel. It adds new mythos to the story. And it's one of those things where, can they really make a Clerks 2? Hell yeah, you can make a Clerks 2. And it can be genuinely funny.
Yeah.
And so that's there. The scene where the ass to mouse scene.
It's been a while since I've seen Clerks 2, but I honestly cannot wait. I'm waiting for it to come in, and I'm gonna sit and just kind of rewatch it again. And I think it's a very underrated Kevin Smith movie.
The Donkey Show. Come on.
So, yeah. I think it's very underrated.
Kinky Kelly and the Sexy Stud.
you mentioned it in the last topic of discussion, but number 4 for me is Red State. I think I watched that movie randomly I bought it on like a new release day and just didn't even realize it was Kevin Smith when I first watched it. And then watched it again a few weeks later, and I was like, man, it was a lot to intake and a lot to just digest. But Red State is truly insane. It's out there.
It's a genuinely good horror movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. John Goodman's in it. When I was thinking about it today, where I should put it in there, because I was like, I definitely have to put it in my list. I'm like, man, yeah, I have to find that again and just try to watch it. But yeah, highly recommend it. It leaves you feeling eerie, creepy. But the thing Kevin Smith does in a lot of his movies is he brings real subject matters up. And I think at the time, stuff like that was a big subject matter, you know, the cult-like following with certain businesses and places out there. So, yeah, highly recommend it.
Have you heard the original ending he had planned for the movie?
Uh-uh.
The original ending, I'll go ahead and just spoil away real quick since we got time to talk about Smith, is that, you know, when the bells go off at the end, everything was supposed to happen just like that. The ATF and them were all posing down against each other, guns drawn on each other. And about then, the Reverend gets lifted up in the sky and you just see blood splurting from his chest. And all the different church members go down, the FBI members go down, and there's this invisible force taking everything out. And John Goodman's watching all this. So you're now watching it from his point of view. And he looks on the horizon, and it's the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and they've come, it's the day of judgment. It was supposed to end with Judgment Day.
Oh, nice. Wow. Yeah. I need to find that and watch it again. I just remember it leading me very, very like uncomfortable feeling like, dude, stuff like this happens and can probably happen at any time. So, but yeah, you wouldn't think of Kevin Smith being a great horror director, but the two movies he's put out so far are pretty phenomenal. So, that was my number 4. What's your number 3, Jay?
Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. I know that seems like an odd choice, but I have a daughter that's close to the age that they were portraying in the film, and some of the stuff that's talked about in the film about not being there as a father, not being a good father, you know, just trying to be there for your kid, man. That shit hit home pretty hard.
He's been very sentimental a lot, like in a lot of his movies lately, the last two, you know. It's like he's throwing us curveballs. Like he wants us to guess something. Like, what are you getting ready to do? Are you about to kill off Jay or Silent Bob? Like, what the fuck?
They better not. Well, he does have a new Jay and Silent Bob movie coming out. He did say that part 3 would be coming out within the next year and a half.
So. I do want to like put the note, like, and this is just a start. of like that Kevin Smith tunnel that we're about to go down. And I'll bring it up again when we talk about the movie, but like right before Jay and Silent Bob reboot, like on the actual physical media, he has a little conversation about like, you know, this movie made nothing at the box office, but the big sell point was physical media. Like so many people bought his last few movies on physical media that it just made the studios be like, okay, well, here's more money. Go make us another movie. So, you know, everybody out there watching or listening to this podcast, like continue to do that for him, because the last few funds, I guess he hasn't really had a lot of funds for movies, but a lot of his funds are coming off the physical media releases. So that I thought that was pretty interesting.
Oh yeah. When he sits there and says that he found his audience on home video, that's no BS statement. That's true. That's where he did find his audience.
Number three for me is going to be what we're talking about today, Clerks. I think any point of time, my next three, two, and one can be one at any moment. It just depends on what I'm really in the mood for. So right now, number three is Clerks. What do you got at number two?
I got Clerks 3. That movie was brutal. I'll just put it that way. I know we're talking Smith movies and everything, but that one was, you know, that one was just brutal. Like, come on, man. He wasn't supposed to be here today. You didn't have to do that.
Mm.
But true to life, it's how it happens, man. I wasn't expecting a lot of stuff in it, but when the story started playing out, I enjoyed the hell out of that. I was a little upset about, you know, Rosario Dawson's character being dead already.
Oh yeah. And
I was like, oh my God, he's hitting me already in the feels. Like, what the hell happened to her? And then you find out as the story progresses, but Dante's dead.
Yeah. And like I said, we'll get to it when we talk about the other ones, but it made me just think of today. I thought about Clerks 3 when we were talking about, the scene, we'll dig into it later, but the scene, the whole Jedi scene where that guy was talking about, oh, I could have taken this this job for that gangster they were talking about, but he realized the risk involved. I'm like, oh, you know, I didn't think of Clerks 3 because I'm like, I wasn't supposed to be there today, and he ended up, you know, being the one. Number two for me is Chasing Amy. I think Chasing Amy is the single greatest love story script that probably has ever been written. A lot of people, you know, compare like, oh no, mine's The Notebook or mine's Dear John or something like that. Like, oh yeah, probably. But the way he wrote Chasing Amy and the way that it kind of gelled for everybody, like Chasing Amy, low key, I feel like did a lot of good things for a lot of people under the Jay and Silent Bob name. And that's one of the greatest, like, probably movies that he probably has ever done. I don't know. Something about me with Chasing Amy is just, I think about it every time. You talk about, you know, getting the reels. There's a lot of dialogue in there and scenes that he writes. It's just, maybe
he based it on the time, on his relationship, because at the time he was dating Joey Lauren Adams, the one that plays the main character in Chasing Amy. He was dating her at the time, and he was using a lot of what they were going through, and that's the script. So that's why it feels so real. It's because he was giving you his real relationship on a page, and his questions, and, you know, because in reality, Joey had more experience than Kevin, and Kevin felt insecure about that and thought he had to compete. And that's what Chasing Amy is about, is that Ben Affleck's character has to compete with what she's done in her life. But that's not the point. It's not what we've done in the past, just to love each other.
Yeah.
But it is a great movie. I seen it in theaters.
Oh, you lucky bastard. Yeah, that'd be a great conversation one day. So, but that's my number two. What's your number one? Your favorite all-time Kevin Smith movie is?
Dogma.
Oh, That's mine too. Let's talk about it for a little bit. That's my number one as well.
What's not to like about that damn movie? Yep. That movie, it's got an all-star cast.
Yeah.
Way ahead of its time. Seriously, yep. I swear that movie's way ahead of its time. When you sit there and you try to explain the plot to somebody, it's about two angels that are trying to negate God's will so they can get back into heaven. And if they do, then the world is destroyed. And you follow this little misfit. And like Jay and Silent Bob, come on now.
Yeah, you were right. All-star cast, even cameo after cameo. It's like I'm kind of shocked. You know, some of those movies back in the day, you're like, man, really big cult following now. And it's almost like I have to look up reviews or conversations about Dogma to even, you know, kind of show somebody, hey, do you remember this? And that's just one of the movies that just goes over people's head nowadays. Like, man, really? You ever heard of this?
And, well, there's a big reason why that. It's because Harvey Weinstein owns the film, so they can't release it on physical media
or digitally. Yeah.
They can't. There's a bunch of rights issues tied up with Harvey Weinstein. And that's the one Kevin Smith movie, even though he done it, most of his stuff with Weinstein anyways, is tied up in litigation. There's something about that movie. But I do have a copy of it on DVD. I have a special two-disc edition.
I found a Blu-ray copy years ago. So I think that's one of the that's a movie that I will cherish because I was always looking up.
The damn thing's expensive.
Yeah, I was also looking up to see if there was like going to be a re-release, and there never was. So now that makes sense. I didn't know, but I knew some of the Weinstein movies out there like kind of hard to get, but. Yeah, that one now makes sense. So,
well, that movie's setting about a $1.50 on Blu-ray.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that'll set you back $1.50 on Blu-ray if you want to watch Dogma.
Mm.
But let's talk a little bit more about Dogma, about how, you know, just the performance aspects of it. He got his friends, and those were his friends at the time to do a movie.
Yep. Yeah, what, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Chris Rock is in there, Salma Hayek's in there. I'm blanking name on him, but he played Snape.
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman's in there, yeah. So, yeah, all-star cast. But, and you know something about Kevin Smith? He reminds me a lot of Adam Sandler. Like, no matter how big he gets or how much money he makes, he never forgets his friends, and he always brings his friends in for the movies or for whatever else he's doing, you know.
Very true. After seeing most of his films and even his comedy specials that are on DVD only, his friends are prominent through those quite a bit, so they mean a lot to him.
We got an Instagram post. Pito 0426, top five Kevin Smith movies. Number one, Clerks. Number two, Tusks. Number three, Clerks 2. Number four, Mallrats. And number five is a tie with Chasing Amy and Red State. So send some more of those in. And we'll always mention them. Yep. Every time. So, but yeah, should be fun. And then don't forget, this time tomorrow, we'll be delivering episode one of Sport Breakers live tomorrow, Monday, 6:30, Wednesday, 6:30, and Friday, 6:30. We'll talk all kinds of sports. The Sunday selection show happened today, so we're going to be talking about March Madness tomorrow. We'll be doing a little Monday Night Raw preview, and then all the stuff that happened in the NFL over the past week, we'll talk about that as well. Live tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. So should be pretty fun.
Should be fun. Yep.
But yeah,
that's you and Kevin.
Yep. Me and Kevin tomorrow, 6:30. But let's why waste any more time? Let's talk about the movie that we're here to talk about. Let's talk about Clerks. On IMDb, it currently has a 7.7, Rotten Tomatoes at 90%. The Metascore is at 70%, with a release date of October 19th, 1994. The budget was only $27,000, and right now it sits at a little over $4.4 million at the box office. A day in the lives of two convenience clerks named Dante and Randall as they annoy customers, discuss movies, and play hockey on the store roof. Starring Brian... Brian O'Halloran, Jeff Anderson, written and directed by Kevin Smith, also starring Kevin Smith, Jason Mewes. Let's dig into it. Jay, do you remember the very first time you've seen Clerks, and what was it like revisiting it for today?
I don't remember the first time, because I do remember I rented it from One Stop Video. It was a part of the 5 for $5 deal. I was like, you know, it was one of those, oh shit, I ain't seen this shit, so let's give it a watch. I was black and white. It's probably not eating good, but I ended up liking it. I sat there, me and my buddy Jerry McGee just sat there and watched it. I do remember who I watched it with, because he was really big into indie cinema, and so he would, if it caught his eye, he'd have me watch it with him.
And then you know, revisiting for today, was it always kind of a joy? Is there still stuff you catch today that you didn't catch 20 years ago, or, you know, how was it?
Oh yeah. From when I first seen it as a teenager, I was probably about 14 when I seen it. You know, jokes that hit that as you get there's jokes that hit as you get older. And there's a lot of stuff going on in the movie, but it seems like it's a simplistic script. You know, it's just two guys hanging out, but there's a lot of shit that goes into that. Like, there's a lot of backstory. There's a lot of history being told. They're just, you know, performances. You know, you get that Dante was in love with Caitlin for the longest time. He's dating Veronica, and, you know, he's stuck. His girlfriend Veronica feels he's stuck in a rut, and he feels like he's stuck in a rut, but he doesn't want to get out of his rut. She wants him out, and Randall's just content being where he's at.
My first time was thanks to you. This was just one of many that you had suggested to me. And then, you know, I started working at FYE and just had a good old time writing down movies that I needed to watch. And I always was the kind of person that, oh, I'm not going to go rent and check that out, because what if I like it? I don't want to give it back. So to this day, you know, whether it be now writing the list in my phone, or, you know, somebody sending me a list, I'll still go out and check it out. And, you know, whether it be a purchase or something. You know, thanks to you, Clerks 1 was complete. I had it on DVD. After that, I think I went and checked out the... there's also two Kevin Smith live stand-up movies you told me about. I also went and checked those out.
Kevin Smith?
Yep. I went and checked those out as well. So, and then it was just like, just the fire was ablaze. Yep. Domino effect, one after another. I went and checked out Dogma, everything after that. So, and then, yeah, like you said, within time, this is almost like a fine wine kind of film. No matter how dirty and vulgar it is, it just continues to get better with age.
It's celebrating its 30th year this year.
That's insane. 30
years.
30 years of Clerks. And I think the edition I have is like the 15th anniversary. Yeah, the 15th anniversary, which is insane.
A special feature on there should be, there should be on there a deleted scene when they go inside the funeral home. That whole scene has been animated in the Clerks the Animated Series style, and they show you what happens when they go inside from the time they go in until the time they're chased out of the. And I recommend checking that scene out.
I should give it a whirl. I haven't seen any special features in a while. But yeah,
I loved buying his DVDs, because he'd always have like an hour and a half documentary on making of this, you know, yep. Making them all rats.
I think on the 15th anniversary of the Clerks disc, I think there's a 90-minute making of Jay and Silent Bob. So,
see, yeah, I was a big physical media fan. I still am. I'll never go completely digital. And his movies were always, if you bought it for $20, it was worth the $20 because you got, look at all this extra bonus shit you got.
Yep.
And I had the Clerks 10th anniversary edition. It came in it was an all black box and it had just a giant X on the cover.
Oh yeah, I remember those.
And I bought that and it had tons. That was the first place the deleted scene appeared for it. So
nice. But yeah, let's get into it for a little bit. You get introduced to Dante. And he gets woken up. You can tell he's already pissed. He doesn't want to be woken up at all. He just closed. And the hours were like 10:30 to 6. So here he is getting a call at like probably 5:30. He doesn't want
to pay attention to the movie. He's up late talking to Caitlin Bree.
Yep.
That's why he passed out in the closet. He was talking to her. That's why he's all tired and fucked up.
Discombobulated.
Yeah. So there's no telling. They don't say in the actual movie when he dozes off, but it makes it seem that it's fairly late that he was on the phone with her.
Doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing.
Exactly. See how that shit comes bite you in the ass?
Yep. But I always enjoyed the opening, you know, getting to see how he starts everything up for his day. The gum getting stuck up into the lock so he can't open up the shutters.
A lovely little Easter egg that was given out in Jay and Silent Bob reboot. You find out who finally sticks the gum in the locks. It's Jay and Silent Bob. They do it for shits and giggles.
That's funny. Yeah, but so after.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I was going to go into the next scene. And
that reboot, that's the scene whenever he's sitting there. He finally introduces his daughter to the convenience store. He's like, yeah, every day me and Silent Bob come here and we stick gum in the locks to fuck with them.
You got your first little sprinkle of Jay and Silent Bob in this movie. You get really the first scene with the dialogue after the musical opening. Is the cigarette guy, right? You get introduced to the cigarette guy.
Truly's Gum guy.
Yep, Truly's Gum.
His name is Scott Scraffo. Like, he's made a living off of being the Truly's Gum guy. I'm not even bullshitting. Like, this guy has, like, made a living off of being the Truly's Gum guy.
Really?
For real. Like, that's been his, like, claim to fame. Like, he's, I'm that guy from the Clerks movie. Remember?
That's funny. You know what? I bet he gets invited to like some cons and stuff and just probably same get up, same.
That's what I'm saying. That's how, that's basically how he makes his living nowadays. He does the con circuit.
That's funny.
Seriously.
That's insane. But you know what? That'd be pretty cool. I would pay like $10 to get in his line and go check it out and take a picture with him.
Yeah, I would. I'd meet him. Like, you're the Chili's Gum representative.
I've done some of those before, going and you know, pay like a certain amount to get in, and then you can, there's like a whole bunch of like lines and stuff to get in and do that.
Oh, a shit tons of money to spend to get an autograph and a picture.
Yep. I went to WrestleCon for the first time ever, right before WrestleMania 35 in New York City. First time ever doing one of those experiences, and it was like, it was addicting, honestly, because I walked in there with like just $300, and I was like, I'm only going to spend 100, you know, I'm not going to completely lose my shit over it, but nope, I spent the entire 300.
You marked the fuck out, didn't
I
you?
I did. not enough to get in Ric Flair's line, though. He was charging $175.
Dude, I've gotten more autographs by waiting at a fence than I have. Seriously, I've met Vince McMahon. By standing at a fence, he comes over and takes pictures and signs autographs with everybody. It was before a SmackDown taping in Wichita.
You guys, so, they have that good arena, though, where everything's level. Like, here at the Paycom Center now, you're, like, way above, and they come, you know, they drive down into a tunnel. Yeah,
they have. Yeah, it's all. I met a lot of them in Tulsa too. So I don't spend the money to do that shit. No, I won't.
I haven't since. I felt really bad. Jay and Silent Bob gets kind of introduced after you get mentioned with the cigarette guy, the Truly's gum guy. You know, they get sprinkled just enough throughout this entire movie to where nowadays, like, even though watching this movie years later, I'm like, man, it doesn't feel like enough of them, but it's just enough in this movie. You get it just enough of them.
Yeah, they're drug dealers. That's basically what you expect. You have a crazy ass drug dealer standing outside in front of the convenience store. Now we've sat here and went the entire time, and we're talking about working in a convenience store when we both have worked in a convenience store.
Convenience stores are fun.
how true is the movie for you on interactions with customers? It plays very true to me.
Oh yeah, it's very true. Also, like in some instance, I'm like sitting here feeling like I'm Dante because I definitely don't vent my frustrations to certain customers or definitely to other people, maybe behind closed doors, but it's very true. Like, I don't think I stress out on the level that Dante did. I'm more of like, you know, kind of going through like, oh, they don't mess with me, I don't mess with them. I go through about my day and, you know, but yeah,
I used to have a cop that would come in there and talk to me for a couple hours every night, and he'd sit there and smoke his pack of Durell cigarettes and we'd just shoot the shit about Park City, about concerts I went to and just people he's arrested. So that was a pretty fun little talk. So.
Oh yeah.
But then I always came to work high though. That was always the adventure for me. I always came to work stoned.
I'd
have been the Jay and Silent Bob part of work, at least working, because I'd have been high as a kite.
So, you know, in almost an example, you'd have kind of been like Randall, how he's just like chill, because we don't know if Randall really gets, maybe he does get high before work, but Randall is just chill. He has fun and he lets the customer know kind of that they're being a dick, but he doesn't like, you can definitely tell he doesn't overstress about it.
Yeah, I didn't overstress about shit. I worked third shift. I was more worried about making sure shit was stocked up than I was worried about a customer coming in. Because around 2 o'clock in the morning, and if you're coming in here, then you're going to scare the hell out of me for one, because there's no buzzer to let me know you came in the door while I'm in the freezer. But it's like, damn. I've had people come up to me and go, you have any ice I could put in my coffee? You'd be like, Jesus.
Same thing.
My ex-wife used to work at Hollywood Video, and she used to sit there, and I used to just hang out up there, and her and her friend Bianca, they would get these questions. They're like, so what movies you guys got that's new? And it's like, hello, you got an entire fucking back wall back there that says new releases. You're right there.
Yeah. My favorite part of working at a movie store would be the ones where they would come in and be like, or they'd call and they would be like, do you have this one movie with that one guy about the girl? And I'm like, how do you expect me to know what movie you're talking about?
Oh, they've had that as well.
Like, Jesus. What'd you think about getting introduced to Veronica?
I was going to say that. Oh, I was going to say that. Yeah, I'm sorry, here.
I had some audio issues.
You had audio issues?
Yeah.
Check. I was just going to sit there and say where real life would have been more pronounced as if in the film Clerks, you had a group of people that came in every Tuesday and sold you stolen Blu-rays and DVDs. See, because you had to go. That was a normal. You had that shit at FYE, didn't you?
Oh yeah, but you know what? I looked.
That's how I got my. That's how I got my Batman collection. Yeah. You called me up one day and you were like, the thieves are here. I'm like, bet I'll be there. I'll be on, I'm on my way.
The thieves are there.
Yeah, you. That's what you said.
Yep.
And you told me that I had to take it outside the store to buy it. And so me and the dude went outside in front of the building. I handed him $20 and got the Batman anthology series for $20.
What a steal. Because those were like brand new $89, $90, I think. Those, you know what, I...
How many movies behind you come from that guy?
A lot of them. And I still feel like, man, if I had the opportunity to do it again, I would. Because
and that was you being a clerk at an FYE. That's just a customer you have to deal with.
Yep. And
did you ever have to go outside, or did you just buy them from him and then buy them from the store?
Oh, no. Directly from him? For sure. I bought directly from him. I'm not ashamed to say it either. And it sounds like I'm an addict, but you know, I probably am, but I was like, you know what, let's exchange numbers. This is my day off. He came in with a trunk full and I would get like two or three stacks that would probably should have cost me $300 and it maybe costing me $80. Because knowing that we only gave them, you know, so let's say $8 for a brand new movie. Yeah, I'd give him $10 for the same movie. So I'd walk out with like, you know, 9-10 movies for $80. And yeah, I had no shame in my game.
Oh, I'd have been right there next to you, be like, oh, did you see this is in here too?
Yeah. And that's where I started buying like shit that I don't even need, like monster trucks or something like that.
Hey, you need that for damn sure. That has to be on the wall.
Yep.
If I was you, I'd go through your collection, but like, I'm going to get rid of ones that I know I'll never watch that I just bought for bullshit reasons, or I purchased them for some reason and go out and pick, sell them and then pick you up all movies that you want.
Dude, you know, I did that just a few weeks ago, and it's almost like you have to go through and sell your stuff on Facebook Marketplace. Because like for a stack of maybe 10 movies that day, I only got like $23. I didn't even get enough in-store credit to buy the one movie that I wanted. And like the prices that they're giving is outrageous. To
I used to pawn my Blu-rays and they would give $1 a Blu-ray.
Yeah, not even that. I think one of the movies in there was like Batman. The Dark Halloween Part 1 and 2, I think, and they wanted to give me like $3 for the two of them. I'm like, $3? This thing was $28.
Probably put it for $28.
Yeah, and then I got the Casablanca 4K, and I was like, well, I don't need the regular Blu-ray now. Let me just go sell that. 25 cents they wanted to give me. So just
keep the shit.
Yeah. But speaking of great conversation, what'd you think of getting introduced to Veronica finally? Veronica and Dante's conversation where he's painting her nails and she's trying to get him to go back to school. And then the answer or the question pops up about how many they've been with, how many she's been with. And then he's like, oh, three? That's not bad.
That's my favorite scene in the entire movie. I'm not even fucking playing. That's one of my favorite scenes in any in movies in particular. Because I don't know how many times I used to holler at my ex-wife, try not to suck any dick as you're way through the parking lot. And she'd be like, fuck you. So yeah, that scene has played well in my life.
And I like how it all comes about because of the guy who buys the cigarettes, right? And she's like, oh, he used to like snowballing. And he's like, what's that?
That's... the snowball guy is played by producer Scott Mosier.
That's funny. That's smart though.
Do you know he's in the movie twice? He plays angry customer. He's one of the angry customers that's on the ladder. He's the one that hits the ball. He hits the ball, so they can't play no more. He's that angry. He plays two characters in the movie, and you can't even tell.
No. And you also get the, I'm pretty sure since he was the, one of the producers, he didn't get paid for being in the movie. You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. Him and Kevin Smith, did, they, it was a two-man job. I've seen enough making of about this movie and heard them talk plenty about it through their podcasts, through everything. And they both sit there and say, without him, I wouldn't have been where I was at. And they're both like that with each other. So without Kevin, you know, Scott would have never been anywhere. And without us, without Scott, Kevin would have never made it because they were like married, it seemed like.
Kind of like Randall. And you finally get introduced to Randall too. He comes in all, you know, late, and he even tells Dante, if I would have known you were going to be here, I'd have been even later. One of the scenes that I have written down that I wanted to talk about was when Randall comes in and talks to Dante, like after he opens up the store, he talks about Return of the Jedi and their little conversation about like, you know, the workers working in the Death Star, they get blown up, right? It's like, hey, the wrong time, wrong place. What, you kind of miss those conversations, like between you and just like somebody else, whether it be like at work or something, and you're like, man, that's just a weird topic, but let's talk about this.
Oh yeah, I could talk about some strange shit. Let me tell you, I'm a conspiracy guy, so some of them are a little bit too tall. Some of those tells are like, nah, man, that shit happened. So, yeah, I'm one of those guys. So, of course, I'd love to. I have some crazy shit to talk about. I used to talk about movies constantly when I was a kid. That's why everybody was like, Jay's the movie kid. Talk to him if you want to see a movie. I was that creepy kid. They were like, yeah. But no, get us back on track.
So what do you think of closing down? Did you like the hockey game scene?
I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny they only had one ball. And the funnier joke is that even though they only played for like 5 minutes, the entire Gatorade was taken. Because remember, everybody thought they got free drinks, so all the Gatorade was gone.
It's such a like small nonchalant scene, but one of the scenes that's just hilarious to me is when Dante's arguing. He's arguing with somebody, and you see in the background Jay just keeps stuffing his face with like donuts or product, right?
It's the Chuli's guy.
Okay.
I believe it's the Chuli's guy he's talking to, and. Yeah, Jay's just stuffing his face with fucking powdered donuts.
One of the scenes where I think Dante is venting to Randall, and you get the scene, or is it the other way around? He's trying to pretty much telling Dante to shit or get off the pot, and Randall's like, man, Jay is like. Jay gets it because he's like, he may be just a drug dealer, but he enjoys doing what he does, right? Isn't that the scene where he like uses Jay as an example?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I know that Randall is very frank. He's that's why I like this guy. Did you know that Kevin Smith wrote the part for himself to play Randall?
Oh, I didn't know that.
But then he sat there and realized that he had to memorize all this shit and direct the movie. So he was like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to hire somebody else. And I'm glad he did. Jeff Anderson is amazing as Randall.
Yeah. And Jeff, he's funny.
Go ahead. We have we're at the 37 scene, right? 37 yeah. Dick scene.
Yeah,
we're at that scene. So yeah, that's my favorite scene in most movies, man.
Yeah, we talked about how Dante's doing something he shouldn't be thinking about or going through. That's probably, I know this is based off of some kind of, you know, incident that Kevin Smith goes through. But if I had to pick one negative about the movie, it would be the personality choice of Dante going through the thing between Caitlin and Veronica. Like, if I could pick one nitpick that I just dislike about the character, it would be that that's the issue with Dante.
And that's the point of it. But that's the way life kind of is. You're given, right. You have one thing and you want another. And here's a guy willing to, it's still the whole shit or get out the potty. He's not doing it. Even his love life is in shambles.
Yeah.
Cause he's wanting to get back with the girl that she probably cheated on him dozens of times. And then he's in the movie, he actually says how many times, I can't remember. So I can't remember how many they said, but she constantly cheated on him. So Veronica, to me, I thought that was a safe choice. And I thought it was a cute scene with him painting her fingernails.
Oh yeah. And it shows you the simplicity of like, hey, you know, if you just do what you're supposed to, and if, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you know, she's going to be there and care about you the entire time, even though you're at a job you dislike, even though you should probably go back to school. She doesn't really care about any of that because she's going to
support you. She's connecting with you.
Yeah, she's connecting. She's going to support you in whatever decision you make. And she brings you food. She brings you lasagna. Like, she takes care of you.
Yeah, like Silent Bob says it later in the film, you know, a lot of girls just cheat on you, meaning he's referring to Veronica, you know, but that's just his roundabout way of saying life in general. He's not saying that he knows Veronica cheated on him all the time. He's just saying life, chicks in general will just cheat on you. Yeah. Very few of them will bring you lasagna, man.
And let's talk about that, because since this is, you know, the debut of Silent Bob, this will be the continuous, pretty much a character of continuing to always say the right thing at the right time. He hardly says shit throughout the entire movie, but now that he, you know, when he does speak, it's pretty meaningful in every movie that Silent Bob is in. This is the one that started the trend.
Yeah, a lot of girls just cheat on you. And then the rest of them, it's very rare that some of them, I can't remember the line completely. I know what it is, though, but that was it.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the nail. Like, you know, very many, most girls will cheat on you, but there's very few select that'll hang out, have fun, and bring you lasagna. I think that's the line. So yeah, you nailed it, man.
If it wasn't for Silent Bob and his Chase and Amy story, another movie wouldn't have happened. Silent Bob, when he speaks, shit happens.
Yeah. And I like how it's so serious too. Like he has this look on his face that he's going to sound different and say something else, but in all reality, nope, that's Kevin Smith doing his thing. And I have to say, like, the dialogue written for Jason Mewes in this movie is just, it's gold. Like, I think that defines the 90s comedy. A lot of people point towards, you know, maybe some other stuff, but I think the stuff that Jay says in this movie particular and all the other movies is like, it's funny. Like, that's what you want, or that's what you picture a drug dealer to sound like, is what Jay goes through. And it's just completely, it's hysterical. So
see, I have more of Jay and Silent Bob. I got to see their empty. Have you seen the MTV stuff they're in?
I don't think so.
Look on the Blu-ray and see if it has, if it says has MTV spots. And if it has the MTV spots, then there's like, they're like at a mall watching TV, and Matt Damon's the cable guy and comes in, and they were like, "We want our MTV, yo." So
that's funny. I'll have to go through.
Like there's like five or six different ones of those where they're and buffers for MTV back in the, it was after they done Mallrats, I want to say.
Mallrats is pretty funny.
And there's a, there is a Clerks 2.5 or 1.5, I can't remember when it came out, if it was before, I think it was before 2 came out, where Dante and Randall, it was a short film called The Flying Car. Dante and Randall are sitting in traffic and they're talking about how would Dante suck a dick, I believe, in order to get the flying car on the market. And that's the whole conversation. Would he allow that to happen?
Oh yeah, the flying car. I remember seeing that on the special features. I think that is on there. What'd you think of the dead guy scene when Caitlin comes back into the mix? I think it's kind of like justice. Like, here she is going to be completely, like, you know, probably scarred for life now. And it's all based on the assumption that she thought it was Dante.
That scene right there, just how they play it up, like, who the fuck was back there with you? They're like, she's like, oh my God. You know how, they play the scene off of each other, like, who the fuck's back there with you? You know, and they're like, oh, I was raped. And,
Randall's like, you heard her. She did all the work.
Exactly. And then they come to find out it's the guy that asked for a skin mag earlier in the film. He just went in there and.
Dante had a story similar to this in the beginning of the movie, right? Where he was like, oh yeah, she completely thought I was somebody else, but he went along with it anyway. Yeah.
Well, that was whenever he sat there, whenever they were talking about how many times she cheated on him, and the number was like something and a half, and Randall's like, a half? Oh, he was like, yeah, this one time she thought I was me, or thought that this was going on, and we ended up being in the same room. So she thought I was, she called my name, the wrong name out, basically.
Kind of putting everything in the ending hat bag, you know, going back to Silent Bob's final word almost. And then the final conversations where, you know, Randall tells Veronica how Dante really felt. And you kind of get, you know, Veronica kind of says that's it. She's done. Cause Dante says, hey, wait, I love you. And she's like, fuck you. And that's pretty much the end of you seeing a Veronica. That's it. You think, is there any fantasy booking? You think that was it between them two? Or do you think there was ever anything else, you know, brought back?
I think they completely split. I think that pushed her over the edge where, because Dante had to end up alone because he lost Caitlin. If you notice, they stick her ass in the same ambulance as the dead guy she fucks. So,
there's a little visual
gag there.
That kind of leaves a little war, you know, a little fight scene between Randall and Dante. But they, as best friends should, they kiss and make up, and that's kind of how the movie just ends.
Well, like in Clerks 3, they were going to film a scene where Dante gets shot. That's originally how Clerks ended. Dante, that whole line about him not supposed to be there today and all this shit just happening was supposed to culminate in him being shot and robbed at the end of the movie, and the movie would just be over. So I'm glad we didn't get that ending. We got him dying later on with a heart attack after two great movies.
But you have any favorite scene or scenes you want to mention?
Like I said, I love the 37 scene. You said you liked the Star Talking scene.
Oh yeah, talking about the Return of the Jedi.
Did you know that George Lucas, on one of the making of features, he was like, "I want to show Jay and Silent Bob how it was the reason why it was like that, that they had these droids that could do all that work." Like, seriously, like George Lucas was like, "I want them to know. I want Jay and Silent Bob to know this is why, and that's why it was put in the fucking movie, man."
I know in the special features, it talks about the movie was being restored sound-wise at Skywalker Ranch. I didn't know Kevin Smith had it like that, to where his movie could be restored at Skywalker Ranch. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think he's talked about going there quite a bit. Because he gets, that's where he does his mixes at.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. I also like the scene where the guy who left his keys there complaining about Randall about the movie store not even being open. I like that scene.
He just throws the fucking keys away. He's like, fuck you, dude.
Yep. Happy night. I even like the scene where that customer's like, hey, I have these two movies. Which one's better? And Randall's just completely sitting there ignoring her. And then she turns around and says, now I have these two. And he's like, I don't appreciate your ruse, man. I think that's a fun scene. The thing that always gets me in that scene is where he's like, you're banned. You're not welcome back here. And you just hear Jay in the background. Yeah. So.
Those are great scenes as well.
You have any favorite scene, or is it that one?
You named some great scenes. And those are great scenes as well.
Star rating, 1 out of 10. 1 being a complete mess up, 10 being, you know, the cream of the crop. So Jay, we'll start with you, man. What's
I'll go an 8 on it, man.
An 8?
Yeah.
It's nice. I have the exact same thing. I'm going to go with an 8 as well. Even though, you know, this movie is complete fun, funny, grew up with it, like, I'm going to keep it, you know, an 8's it's pretty good solid rating, so. But yeah, if you guys have any questions or any, if you want to share your star rating of Clerks, send us an email, get us on the social media. It's facebook.com/ The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Or you can just email the star rating at cinemen921@gmail.com. And we'll read some emails out next week. Next Sunday, March 24th, we get back on track with our Robin Williams movies. And we're talking Patch Adams live next Sunday, March 24th, 6 p.m. So, Jay, how are you looking forward to Patch Adams? Is it a movie you've seen yet, or... what are your thoughts?
I've seen it, but it's been so long, it'll be like rewatching it anew. That's how long it's been since I've watched it.
So should be a pretty fun episode. This is all leading towards a nice Robin Williams top 5 plus 5 episode in August. But we'll talk a bunch of our favorite Robin Williams movies come this summer. So should be pretty fun. So. Yeah, other than that, man, I think that's going to do us for the day. You guys don't forget, tomorrow, 6:30 p.m., we're talking sports, all the stuff that happened in the NFL over the weekend. March Madness is starting this week, tournament winners, and a little Monday Night Raw preview. So all tomorrow night, live, same channel, 6:30 p.m., right here live on MSWA Productions. And then if you want to give back to the show, like I said, there's the Cash App. You guys can give into the show. We can get some more of these fabulous coffee mugs made. You guys can purchase these right now on facebook.com/ The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. And whatever you donate will gladly get put back into the podcast. So check us out every single Sunday, 6 p.m., except for Sunday, April 7th. That'll be a special 1 p.m. start time, when we talk the Iron Claw. And then we end March with Friday, a fun conversation. Ice Cube, Chris Tucker, should be pretty fun. So
I'm down with that.
Well, I think that'll be it. Jay, you have anything else before we get out of here?
No, I'm good. I think we talked enough Clerks.
Oh, excuse me. Should be fun. You. Thank you. Don't forget, everybody, next week, Patch Adams, Robin Williams talk continues on another new episode of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. So have a fun week. Happy St. Patrick's Day. See you guys tomorrow, Sports Breakers, 6:30 p.m.